Hit it.
Today's episode of the Left of Boom show, we talk about strike preparation. Little off the beaten path topic for labor relations and contract negotiations. I'm joined again today by Gail Wolf. Gail and I have worked on a number of different strike prep projects, and there's a lot of great information in today's episode from security and securing your location. How are you going to continue operating during a potential strike? What are the things that you can do to be fully prepared in the eventuality that you might have to face a strike? Also, spoiler, the better prepared you are for a strike, the less likely you are to face one. We also talk about key stakeholders in strikes, how to communicate during a strike. So a number of different really important topics, especially if you've never faced a strike. And even if you have, I think you'll learn some things that maybe you hadn't thought of before. So I hope you enjoy today's episode with Gail Wolf on strike preparation. Welcome back, Gail Wolf, to the Left of Boom show. Good to see you.
Great. Thanks, Phil. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah. All right. So today's episode is on the topic of strikes, and more importantly, the you know, how do you prepare for a strike so that you hopefully don't have one? And Gail, you know, we did an episode on sort of being prepared and project managing bargaining, but at some point, many negotiations get to a point where it's at least the potential of having a strike. And so in today's episode, Gail, we're going to talk a little bit about how does a company, you know, prepare for one and hopefully avoid one. So why don't we just start with that? Like, what, you know, tell me a little bit about sort of, you know, how do you think about getting a company prepared for dealing with a potential strike?
Yeah, I think a couple of questions that the organization will have to ask itself is, how do we see ourselves operating through a strike? So if you take out the workers who would be on strike, what does that look like for our operations? And so you can make assumptions of everybody goes on strike, right? Everybody goes out. Or are you willing to allow people to cross the picket line and come into work? So I'm, you know, are we going to allow that to occur? And what do we think the cross rate could potentially be? So looking at those numbers. But operationally, I like to do like worst case scenario, you know, better case scenario. So then you are at least preparing yourself. If everyone goes out on strike, how are you going to run your operations? Are you going to bring in replacement workers? Is that an option for your organization? Maybe it's not, maybe it is. So industry-wide, I would say, you know, healthcare, right? Replacement workers, nurses are an easier, not easy, but an easier fill to make than maybe some other roles, say in a healthcare organization, or even manufacturing. So in manufacturing, are you going to build up inventory and shut down certain operations? Like, how does this play out so you are prepared? So looking at that talent and, you know, what's that time period? You don't sometimes know going in, right? So we don't know how long it's going to last. So there's a lot of variables that you're going to have to think through as an organization. And what's the tolerance for a strike? So that's going to, because, you know, that's going to dovetail into your bargaining and where you are with bargaining. And so for some organizations, they're firm on, I don't want to give more than this. And if that means they go on strike, then we're going to be prepared and we're going to take that time and walk through all the scenarios to make sure that we have the right, you know, people in place and players. So I think strike planning, it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of moving parts, depends on the industry, depends on your operations. You know, what's your security look like? Mm-hmm. Do you have in-house security? Are you going to have to hire security? And what even does your physical security look like? Is it prepared if you were to encounter a strike? So there's definitely a lot of moving parts. And so you want to start planning that out as early as possible. So then you can source some of that. Because if you are going to source talent and go through a replacement agency, you know, what does that look like? Are you going to, you know, do you need to put that out for bid? Do you have multiple providers on that side that you want to talk to and decide who might be the supplier for your, you know, work, your staff for that strike? So there are a lot of parts that you need to consider going into this.
Yeah, my head already hurts, but yes, you're right. There's like so much to think about. So why don't we start maybe like at the beginning, which is like why, what's the point of the strike? Like why does a union, what leverage do they gain by the threat of a strike or by going on strike? And then why is it important for an employer to, be prepared and hopefully avoid that strike? So maybe just start there real quick.
Okay. So the union, is pulling or saying we're going to go out on a strike typically to get what they want at the table, right? So you're a lot of times in bargaining, we're not happy with what the employer is providing in terms of, a contract. So this is our only really way to put pressure on the employer that, you need us, right? It's a, you need us, we don't need you, kind of mentality. So the smoother your strike runs and the less impact you allow a strike to have on your operations, that is counter pressure to the union thinking, okay, we forced you now to, agree to our proposals to end the strike. So I had a situation where we had started planning a strike way back when the union had just been certified. So we were well into a year of planning for a strike when the strike actually occurred. And it went like, honestly, I was surprised at how well it went. It was like clockwork. Those replacement workers came in. We didn't miss a beat. We had, things in order. Fortunately in healthcare, you do get a 10-day notice. So you do have time, that you can a little bit at a time. But all the pre-planning needs to be done way like this. It takes a year definitely to plan for a strike. But I think the fact that it went off so well, and there was little impact that they're like, okay, why would the employer now agree to our proposal? Did it financially cost the employer? Yes. Right. Because strikes are not free. Right. So there is some financial implication there. So I think that's where the balance starts to come in. But I think the more prepared you are and you can show to the striking workforce that we can manage this, that gets them back to the table faster and getting a little bit more realistic about, okay, what is it that we really want to get in our proposal?
Yeah, the dream, right? The dream on their side is that we go out on strike for a couple of days and the employer's like, oh, Uncle will agree to everything that that you've asked for. And so the way to avoid that dream scenario from happening is what you just said. If we can run the operation without missing a beat, then there is no impact to you being on strike other than you're not getting paid and it's costing you money. But we're going to continue to operate and take care of our customers. That if you're in that situation, and then the best case scenario, Gail, which you just mentioned, is to be so prepared in advance that everybody sees it, and if everybody sees it, what happens then is you might have like a small group of just like the bargaining committee and like the most committed folks, on the union side that they might go ahead and walk out anyway, just, because they'd feel embarrassed if they didn't. But like the rest of that workforce is going to go, why on earth would I go like, not get paid for a week when it's not, it's not going to matter. They're totally prepared. And if you take away, if no one's going to go on strike, even if the union calls one, there's no strike. Like, so, you can take away all of that leverage even without necessarily having to implement a plan, as long as it's clear you have a plan and are prepared. I think that's kind of like, to me, one of the key points. So next question is, if you are, what are like, you've already mentioned kind of a high level, sort of some of those core elements of the plan. What, talk a little bit about, so, we're very early on, beginning negotiations. Like what are the most important things to kind of start getting handled first as you're thinking about strike plan?
Yeah, I think, the things that we tend to not think through in detail and should be thought of is making sure your security. So whatever it is, it's going to take some time potentially to nail down. If you've got maybe security cameras in areas that don't work and you, you know, have been, oh, it's been broken and we've been meaning to get it fixed. Okay. Stuff like that needs to be shored up. Our gates, you know, entrance points secured. If you're allowing people to bypass security mm-hmm. and you shouldn't, shore that up. Make sure people are following the guidelines, badging. If you're supposed to badge a certain way into the building, make sure you're following that protocol. So really tighten up and make sure that people are following the rules that you have established. You're just not enforcing them consistently, yeah. right? So I definitely making sure that that part is done. Have your IT partners in part of the process planning. And I know that's a group that people are like, IT? And I was like, yes, they're so critical in this process. And so IT is going to help you badge people appropriately to have entrance into the building during the strike. Who should be in there helping you to color code? Who should be, who should not be? What are the doors? Like, okay, how do you access those doors? So security working with IT. And then IT having a running roster of, especially if you're allowing crossers. Mm-hmm. So if you decide as an organization, we're going to allow people to cross and come into work during the strike, you need to have IT who has access to systems, because they're going to cut system access for those people who are striking during that strike period so they can't access your network. And those who are working do need access to the network system. So there's like a lot of moving parts with the IT side to make sure that they are in tune, and vendors. So you probably have potentially in your organization a vendor population. So making sure that whoever is your point person to communicate with vendors, make sure that that person is on point and included in the process. And, you know, here will be your responsibility during the strike and making sure that they're executing that. So there are some of those areas where people just don't, they think, oh, well, HR is going to be heavily involved. Well, yes, obviously legal will be involved as well, because they'll be pre-looking and reviewing and looking at risk factors. So you do want legal involved to analyze replacement workers. You know, is that permitted? What's the licensure that you need? You know, if there's a licensing issue. So there's a lot of legal loopholes that you need legal looking at to make sure that if you're going to use replacement workers, that you're doing it effectively and legally. So I think those are probably some of the issues that I see off the top of my head.
Yeah, great. And I would just add, you know, simple stuff like, where is our property lines? You know, some employers, you know, are leasing their property. So like the landlord actually is who enforces things like trespass, but figuring that kind of stuff out. As you mentioned, like, you know, some employers, the public can come in and out of the location, but in other employers that's not the case. But how secure is that? Like you said, are you following the security rules? Another thing you haven't mentioned, but is sort of implied in there, is, you know, sabotage. So, you know, whenever there is a strike, it's not uncommon that the folks, either as they are leaving or maybe even during the strike, they might try to come in and to disrupt operations. And that can be, you know, anything from just sort of like protesting or you know, things like that to disrupt operations, up to like actually trying to like destroy equipment or, you know, to prevent the employer from continuing to operate. So that the other reason why security is so critical is to make sure that you avoid sabotage, which is a like a regular component of strikes.
I have in my strikes that I've experienced, they, you know, hit equipment, you know, mm-hmm. so all equipment was gone that your, you know, workers needed, plugging up toilets, you know, flooding mm-hmm. floors where you now have to move, you know, people around and, you know, operational equipment. But yes, definitely making sure that security is buttoned up and tied up really tight. The one group that depends on what kind of business you are, if you're B2B or B2C, mm-hmm. if you're a B2C, have consumers, you have to think about how a strike plays out for a customer or a patient. So for patients, I always make sure call centers are involved in the process of planning, and they have the right scripting, because a lot of times you'll have people from the community calling in. Is my appointment still good? I heard there's a strike. Is there a certain door I'm supposed to enter in through for, you know, access to the building? So definitely thinking through that aspect of what kind of business you are and who could be impacted by the strike occurring at your facility.
Yeah. Retail locations, super common to have, you know, same thing, have protesters show up in a parking lot or even come into the store. making sure that leadership understands, like, how do you, effectively get them removed, and they'll try to interact with customers. So what are we going to say to our customers? There's a lot of these moving parts that if you haven't been through this before, you probably wouldn't think of, 10% of these. And so it's really wise to have somebody who's kind of, got the scars to prove it, to really, to be thinking through, okay, in your individual business is going to be like, it's unique, right? So it's not, I can go walk through a building and come up with, wow, if like that would be a place that I would, potentially try to sabotage something. Most employers, they're like, well, you're just paranoid, but it's like, no, if you've been through enough of these, you can see the places where, there would be a choke point that would be like, oh, this would be a good place to try to, slow this operation down. So besides security, what are like some of the other kind of key things, especially to be thinking about early, because it takes time to prepare?
I think the replacement workers is probably the biggest one, and figuring out who are you going to use, a replacement, agency, and working with that agency from the very beginning as much as possible to prepare, because they're going to ask you questions and you're going to have to pull data together, supply information, so then they could help prep and provide the right headcount, especially in, healthcare operations, for example. You have licensure issues. So it's not like you can just put an RN from any state and drop them into New York. You have to make sure that you have the right licensure. And then, ICU, you've got certain certifications. Are you putting in the right nurses into the right spots to make sure that you're providing the level of care that you want to provide as an organization, and that you're in some cases required to, depending on the position. So I think, healthcare is probably the one that is the most, that I've worked with, is the most complex because of the regulatory functions of it. Making decisions like, are you going to allow elective surgeries to move forward? And here's where the groups that are not part of the strike, but are definitely impacted by the strike, become really, highlighted. Providers who are, surgeons who are doing surgery. Okay, I'm not going to have my RN, my usual nurse, in bedside while I'm performing this procedure. I don't know that I'm comfortable executing that procedure without the RN that I'm used to working with.
Yeah.
A lot of that happens in the course of talking this through and figuring out, what are we going to allow to continue to occur? And are we going to shift work, especially in healthcare operations that are system-wide, or you might have even like a manufacturing process that is multi-system, where you could offset work to another location. So that needs to be thought through. So I think definitely, so thinking in advance, and I think vendor and deliveries. Think about where you get supplies delivered, where vendors are coming to bring materials to that you need to operate, and are there alternative places that they could be delivered to if needed, or what's the security around that? And is that vendor somebody who's going to continue to be able to supply throughout a strike, because they might have employees who are are sympathetic to the strike workers and be, oh, okay, well, we're not going to deliver to that location during the strike.
They might even have a labor contract, right, that says that like they don't have to cross a picket line, and then you need to figure out a way to get them to drop something that's not crossing a picket line.
Yep. So I like to have legal actually looking through. So I always ask for a vendor list. Who's all the vendors that are critical that will be at that site? And they can be very long, unfortunately, but your legal team looking at those contracts, understanding and helping advising who might be a hurdle here, an obstacle, and can you back stock? So if you get and you think that there could be a strike, can you back stock some products and make sure that those supplies are there and ready, and that you wouldn't have to rely on that vendor potentially.
Yeah. And have it stored somewhere, or create a place where you've talked to the vendor and we're like, will you deliver to this location if there is a strike at this other location, and get an agreement on that. Who's a secondary vendor that you could have? There's a lot of those. One thing you didn't mention, mostly what you've been talking about, is kind of like temporary replacement. Right? So that's where you are going to hire workers to kind of come in on a temporary basis during the strike, knowing that when the strike's over, like, they'll leave. Employers also have a right in certain situations, and we won't get into all the like the you want to check with your lawyer, so on about like which of these you can do, but you can also permanently replace. And so permanent replacement means you're hiring somebody to do that job, and they can keep that job as long as they want, not just during the term of the strike, but they would continue to be able to do that job for as long as they want. You have to, if they leave that job, you have to offer the newly opened role at whatever time it becomes open. You have to offer that to someone who was on strike before you can fill it from someone outside. But like that is a right that employers have. So you want to decide way early on, if we were to suffer through a strike, would we temporarily replace or permanently replace? If the answer is permanently replace, then you basically have to have a whole recruiting operation that stood up, you know, in time to be able to hire these replacement workers, or have a plan anyway to bring those workers in whenever you're starting. If you're not going to permanently replace, then these agencies that you're talking about become like an effective way to do that. And you could do a blend of both. Like you could stand up and start recruiting permanent replacements at the same time that you're using temporary replacements from an agency, you know, until you get people hired in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what I find kind of the thing that really makes the employer go one way or the other is the role itself. So what is the skill set that you're looking for? How readily available is it? Is it something that you can easily, you know, recruit for and hire quickly for, or is there a process? What I find is that the recruiting process takes longer than we think it should. Mm-hmm. And it starts to drag out. So that's why I think most employers go with the temporary, just as a matter of course, just because practicality, it works better. Or they figure out a way how to operate without the workers. Like, okay, do we bring in some of the managers to do some of the jobs?
Yeah.
Like to fill in, you know, to do it, you're going to shut down operations. Maybe you're going to do a bifurcated, like we're going to shut down this, we're going to shift these people over here. So it really depends on, that's why it takes so long. Like you have to analyze it for your situation and the hurdles that are in front of you versus like, there's not a cookie cutter plan that works for everyone, unfortunately.
I've had a number of strikes, like one totally stands out, but like a number of strikes where management goes in, does the work for a while, and then figures out, oh, wow, like we can do this way more efficiently than we're doing it. And now all of a sudden, you know, one of the impacts of the strike for the folks that come back is we don't need as many people because we're going to adjust this operation. I had one where they discovered a like secret break room that had been built in. So it was a big manufacturing operation. So that was a bad day when everybody like lost the place where they would go hide. You know, there was a TV in there. There was a bed. Like it was nuts. So anyway, everyone showed back up and like the wall that had been put up was gone and all, you know, that was all gone. So anyway, be careful. You know, be careful what you wish for when you go out on strike. You might, your job might be a lot different when you get back.
To the before as well.
Yeah. So, what are like some of the other kind of key things around, you know, strike planning, strike preparation, like especially someone who hasn't been through it before, like this is your first contract negotiation. What are some other like big things they should be aware of?
Community. What is the view of the community of your operations, your organization, your government officials, making sure that they are, you know, kept in the loop and educated on what's going on at the table, what led to the strike. You really want to make sure that those stakeholders are, you know, thought of. You know, each community is different, and the view that the community has of your organization varies depending on, you know, your track record, your history in the community. For some I've worked with, they have this great track record in the community and it's a large enough community. There's enough diversity that people are scratching their head. Why are these people out on strike versus a really small community, more singular employer, maybe doesn't have a great track record with the community. Then you get that momentum of kind of the, we're standing, you know, in support of the employees going on strike. I had one strike up north where union came down. It was, you know, it was UAW, but they came down and it was unrelated industries, but they came down and honked their horns and circled the hospital just nonstop, nonstop. And that, like, understanding that and thinking through, like, these, they do have support from others, and how does that play out in the dynamic? So I think it really becomes important to think about what are the opportunities that you have with your organization, how you're viewed, what's the communication that you've been sending out, what do people think is going on at the table. So that's where I think communication becomes so critical. You want to make sure those government officials are aware of what your position is, why that is your position, and making sure that they're as informed as possible. They may not agree 100% and not be on your side, but if you feel like they are read in on the situation, when the union goes and starts to tell their side, it's just natural. They have more information. It's not going to match up exactly with your side of the story, their side of the story. Then that leader, then the government official says, okay, hold on. You know, there's wiggle room here. So I think those are some parts that I don't think people really think through. Communication is critical, like during a strike, making sure that people are informed. People who are coming to work and who are not part of the strike, you got to make sure that those folks know, hey, it's safe to come to work. We've ensured your security by doing X, Y, and Z. Here's the doors that we need you to go through and utilize during the strike. And I think you have to recognize that some of those people may want to, you know, I want to not come to work because I'm showing support for my fellow, you know, in this bargaining unit. How is the employer going to respond to that? So you need to think through all those things with your HR and legal folks to make sure that you're giving your leaders and those other departments good guidance on how to handle that. You might have a lot of sick call offs in other departments to kind of show their support of those strikers, workers on strike. So yes, thinking through all those parts well in advance and having a plan is important.
And your communication plan, like, influences whether, you know, there is going to be sympathy by coworkers, sympathy in the community. Like, you know, the more you're doing to explain to everybody, like, look, we've put really great offers on the table. Our package is super competitive. You know, there's no reason for us to be on strike. We should be back at the bargaining table. We're ready, willing, you know, and able to reach an agreement here. Like, the more that is the story, the you know, the less likely they're going to get support from all these different, you know, groups that you're talking about. So it's a, you know, you've said it, but communications is absolutely, absolutely critical. And also communicating to supervisors and managers and making sure that they kind of understand we have a plan. We're under control, all of those things. Now you mentioned legal. Let's talk a little bit about sort of how legal interplays with a strike. I mean, there's certain things that can happen that will make a strike unprotected, and where there's kind of like legal avenues that the company can take to try to like stop a strike from happening. So maybe just kind of walk through a little bit how legal interfaces with this.
So typically, I have legal involved from the very beginning of stages of the beginning. So, okay, as we're running through, putting the plan together, having them analyze it from a legal perspective to say, okay, that's more risky than this is or this approach. So making sure that they're always involved from, you know, kind of step one, I think is important. Because replacing workers and agency, like just making sure, and there's going to be a contract, right? So they're going to have to review the agency contract to make sure that with, you know, the verbiage on the contract and how we're going to, you know, pay this vendor. So I think definitely making sure that legal is involved in that entire process, and also looking at, okay, what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. So how far, for example, you mentioned the property lines earlier. So how far up can the employees go? What are those property lines legal looking at? And in healthcare, there's some rulings from the NLRB that you got to make sure that you're complying with in terms of, because people need to go ingress and egress into the hospital. So is there disruption that is, you know, that where you can take you know, some action against the strikers, depending on where they are and how they're kind of, you know, blocking the, you know, the entrance into a hospital potentially. And I think the other thing is if there is a disruption, how are we going to handle it, and who gets called and notified? So legal will help you identify, like, okay, this happens, you know, and recording, like, okay, are you going to record or take evidence of what happened with the strikers and how they acted during the strike? Is there an incident? How do you want that incident handled? So legal should be pre-reviewing that to say, if this, then this, if this, then this. So making sure that you almost kind of have a diagram, so then your security has no questions on how they're going to handle disruption at the strike line. And I think it really becomes prudent when you have a lot of people who are customers or patients coming in. So it's, you know, that B2C type of situation versus a B2B, because in B2B, you typically have less people from the outside coming in. But if you're a B2C, you're going to have a lot more, you know, issues with that, that you're going to have to kind of monitor and make sure that legal is part of.
Yeah, great call outs. And then going back to that whole permanent, you know, temporary replacement question, you need, you know, you're going to need an unfair labor practice strike. You cannot permanently replace. So you're going to need legal advice around, you know, have they filed unfair labor practices? Are those unfair labor practices? Do we feel like they're valid reasons to, you know, convert a strike to a unfair labor practice strike? That's like a critical decision. Like if you mess that up, that is a really, really costly screw up. So like you want, you know, you have to get that right.
What things, I say on the point, on yeah. the point, is not to interject, but I think this is a really important point for employers to kind of monitor and pay attention to, and curtail as much as you can, but they will try to create an unfair labor practice strike out of one that is really not an unfair labor practice strike, right? So that's where, like, to your point, having legal involved, I mean, one client in particular, they had, you know, we were bargaining in good faith, and then the employees start to say there's all these safety issues. Mm-hmm. So then they're holding these vigils, and there's these safety issues, and da-da-da-da. So they created this narrative of, well, that's why we're on strike, is because it's an unfair labor practice, or the safety issues, ignoring. And so as much as you can, you really do want to pay attention to that, because you're right, that you can't permanently replace in a ULP type of strike. So now you've got these situations where you're going to have to use temporary workers.
And it also depends on your industry, right? So like in healthcare, you've already mentioned, but you have to give a 10-day notice of a strike. And if you don't provide 10 days notice, that strike's unprotected, which means that you could theoretically terminate anybody that does participate in that strike, and it would not be an unfair labor practice. So there's a lot of legal components to it. The bottom line to this, we're not a law firm and not giving legal advice, but like you have to have your lawyer giving you legal advice sort of all the way throughout this process, because it's, you know, it is a tricky tricky area of law. So what other kind of like main components of strike preparation is there any other components that we haven't covered yet?
I think just making sure that operationally you've really involved the right people from day one, because there's a lot of downstream implications when you start to shift work, change work, how we're going to operate, having, you know, replacement workers. That is a huge lift, because those people have to be oriented to your facility. They have to understand the interworkings potentially of how, you know, where things are in the building, but also who they're working with, their counterparts. So there's a lot of, I think, just how do you orient them quickly? And it, just the logistics of where are they staying? How are they being fed? Mm-hmm. You know, we ran into housing issues in one situation. Yeah. Realize it was the same weekend as some event that was going on in town, and now we had no hotel space for all these people, but we didn't have, you know, the workers, but we didn't have a place for them to stay. And how do you get them then bused from the hotel to the location? Yeah. So if you're doing replacement workers, that is a super, super big lift. And I think that's where you just need to make sure that you are thinking through with the agent, and a lot of these agencies will help you do that, depending on the industry and what you're working with. But that is a huge lift that takes a lot of time. So you want to make sure that that is done well. So,
Yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah, I think so. A lot of people will think about like this needs to be a big secret. Like our preparation needs to, you know, needs to be secret. And I would like you to walk through a little bit, like why, what reasons might there be to like not keep the plan like completely, like I'm not saying that everybody needs to know everything about the plan, but like what are some reasons that you might want to keep, you know, have some of your preparations evident?
I think it puts a pressure on the union that you are prepared, that you are not sitting on your hands and waiting and being unprepared. So they like to catch you off guard. It's kind of like when they drop a petition at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they want to catch you off guard as an employer and not prepared. So the more prepared you are and can show and indicate, the less likely I think they are to go, okay, we are now going to stand on the street, not be paid, and it put no pressure on the employer because they were completely prepared for our, you know, walking out. It happened with one of my clients recently. They had a very well, they let the cat out of the bag in a very, you know, proper way that people knew, like they were planning, the managers were going to step in. This is what they had it planned out. They even practiced. They did some role play to make sure, like, hey, does this work? And the employees, you know, are not willing to go out on strike because, hey, these guys are prepared. So definitely, I think the more that you can, you know, do that in advance, the better off you're going to be, because the union then is not going to think, okay, that's going to put the right pressure on them to cave to our proposals that we want.
Yeah, I think it's if you don't show that you're prepared, like how do they know? And you know, even if you know it's a strike and like you were prepared for it, like it's way better to avoid it. And you also are going to get different behavior at the bargaining table if everybody knows like a strike isn't really a viable weapon anymore. The kinds of offers that you're willing to kind of hold out on are going to be different if you are prepared. And you know, they need to know you're prepared. It can't just all be a secret.
Thing that we did talk about, yeah. I think kind of going back to the beginning of like strike planning, is figure out early on where will incident command be. So you need a physical space that you're going to operate out of that will be what you would consider incident command, and making sure that the people that you identify to be on that incident command team, that everybody is aware that they're on that incident command team, that here's the expectations during that time period. Like these are not your normal working hours when you're in a strike. Okay. And in many cases, you are getting a cot and you're living there for a while. So you have to understand, like as a leadership, you know, individual, that incident command and where's that operate? And then what's the communication look like? So what are you, to your point earlier, just like attorney client privilege, making sure that you have privilege around everything. So you start these text strings, what's the protocol? So really identifying your process and protocol for how communications are going to occur during a strike, who's going to be available. So if you want to give people a break, who's going to be on call, who's that primary point of contact? Because if an incident does happen at the site during a strike, and a lot of times this happens, you know, on third shift at night, that's when the incident occurs. Who's going to call? Who's the bat phone? So you got to make sure all thought through well in advance before you get into a strike situation. So just
And this relates to something you said earlier, but like the other thing to keep in mind, and as you're planning and anticipating, like when is this going to happen? Well, they're going to want to pick the time that's going to be the most painful to the employer and probably to your customers, right? So you want to be thinking about and the time that you're going to be the least able to implement your strike plan, right? So you should be thinking about when would be the time that they would target. Like in the hospitality industry, you might look at sort of like when are the big events that might happen, just like the example that you gave. But like if you are a hotel, for example, or a resort, or whatever, you know, you're going to pick like the weekends that are the biggest, most popular weekends. as a place to do your strike, because that's going to give you the most leverage. So you want to be, you know, putting yourself in their shoes. Like, if I was going to cause the most amount of pain, like, how would I do it? That's a good place to start your planning from.
Agree.
Yeah.
And I think the other one that, you know, once you get into the actual strike and it's occurring, you need readouts after every day. So especially if you have crossers. So what we would do is we would track the number of crossers that we had for the day, what our labor looked like for the day, what did our production look like for the day, were there any, you know, issues or hiccups that we incurred, just to make sure that each day we had a briefing done. And we did it every shift too. So every shift there would be a debrief to make sure we had all the information and data of what happened during the course of the day. And then we did a full readout for, in this case, it was the board. So, you know, we made sure the board was aware, like, hey, here's exactly where we stand with the strike. So I just think making sure that that's part of your process when you get into the actual strike.
Yeah. I would also just point everybody who's listening to the episode that we did on preparation, like just bargaining preparation. Obviously, all those same stakeholders that are involved in that are going to be involved in if there's a strike, but you want to think through as part of your strike plan, kind of how does that fit into just the whole, you know, project management of the, you know, of the bargaining. And so you definitely want to check that episode out. What other kind of key takeaways for someone who's dealing with this, especially someone who's dealing with it for the first time? Any other kind of tips or call outs?
Yeah, I think communication is, you know, very, very important during, you know, the strike, to make sure that your employees feel they're in a good place, who are, you know, not part of the strike. So communications, making sure that team is, you know, on board, helping you to, you know, craft communication, answer questions, getting leadership, you know, talking points if they need them during the course of the strike. The more that you can normalize the process of during the strike, the better off you're going to be, because that's kind of calm the waters of, you know, how much striking occurs. I think the other thing that, you know, you don't think about is things that, you know, depending on, you know, like safety, like what's going on, because things happen during strikes that, you know, can create safety issues, bringing gas grills, you know, too close to a building. I've seen all kinds of stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And so just making sure that, you know, you've got security available and ready, and maintenance, you know, grounding regularly, HVAC systems, anything mechanical, those folks should be rounding every shift multiple times during the shift to make sure no sabotaging is occurring. So I know those sound like, to your point earlier about being a little paranoid, but they are, that stuff happens, and that can crash your system, your operations. So you really want to make sure that those things are being, you know, reviewed, walked through, and reported. Where do you report that to? What's the structure and who you're reporting to, you know, that information? Those are probably some of the bigger items. You know, like I said, each industry, you're going to have some nuances that you're going to have to factor into how you navigate. But I think also we talked earlier about the communication with the community. I think making sure that you have that well prepped, and thinking through what could happen if you don't have those people prepped in on your side.
Yeah. You also mentioned in the you know, project management episode, you know, IT, but like that's another place these days that's a prime target for you know, for sabotage. So I think that's a good one to kind of keep in mind. So this is kind of the last area I want to get into, and then we'll conclude. But the yeah, there's some employers that like they're not going to operate during a strike. Like you know, if enough people go out or like you just know. I mean, these days it's not uncommon. I mean, there's a lot of times where union leadership doesn't really want to have a strike, but like that they're not going to avoid one because like the rest of the bargaining unit wants to go on strike. And so there's some of these situations that happen where you are going to have a strike. It's not avoidable. You're not going to continue to operate during the strike. What are some tips for a company that's in that situation? Yeah, that now becomes a big communications, you know, issue, and trying to like get the union back to the table and get the employees to kind of understand like, you need to get back to the, we need to get back to the table to try to settle this. Do you have any tips for an employer that is there kind of looking at their plan? They're like, our plan is if we have a strike, like we're kind of stuck.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the worst situation to be in, is if you really don't have the ability to bring in replacement workers or offset, you know, that situation, is to continue to have dialogue with the union about getting back to the table. If you do have, you know, because you could be negatively impacting those folks also who are not part of the union, mm-hmm. right? So we have those players that we have to, you know, factor into the equation as well. So I think that's where the employer really needs to look at that, you know, 50,000 foot view and holistically go, okay, what is the best thing and how can we communicate, you know, that we're willing to get back to the table, and that this is not helping anyone. Because at the end of the day, a strike is not good for anyone. It's really not good for the employees. The employees are losing out. They're losing financially every day that they're standing out on the picket line. They're not being paid. In some cases, they're going to lose their health care coverage. In many cases, that's more important to the employee than the actual paycheck, depending on their, you know, health situation and if they have a family member who's on health coverage. So I think that's where it, you know, COBRA is very costly. And so that's where I think, you know, that messaging to employees, like, this is not helping you mm-hmm. as individuals. Like, we want to get back to the table. We want to get back to getting an agreement that works for both parties. So I think those are some of the, you know, and if you're looking at a possible, you know, first time contract, or even you have a maybe existing union that is becoming much more aggressive, I think financially, stockpiling as much as you can, cash on hand. What do you need? Like, what does your financials mm-hmm. look like? What can you do to prepare yourself if you're going to, in fact, shut down completely? That's where having enough time to play out the scenarios with your financial and business folks and ops folks, that's beneficial, you know, to your side. So then you can say, how can we come out of this on the other side if we endure a strike and we're going to completely shut down operations? So,
yeah, I think great point. And like, you don't necessarily have to replace people, right? You can replace, you can build up, you know, inventory that could be sold during a period where there's a shutdown that is already, you know, already ready to deliver. There, you know, there's other ways to sort of prepare for a work stoppage besides just like trying to place the people. So I think that's another kind of key component of that. Well, Gail, this has been, you know, nobody really likes to think about a strike, and strikes are, you know, they're awful, and it's a very stressful time. But I think that you've illustrated, like, if you prepare well, you know, you just work that plan. Often you avoid the strike, or the strike doesn't last very long because it's clear, like, you're prepared. And so I think this has been, you know, really, really helpful to our listeners. So thank you again for joining us. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Phil. Have a great day.
Yeah. Okay. You too.